followed up with a question, and the question I asked her is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Because I thought she probably would, based upon her comment. And it was amazing to watch her react to the supremacy, Christ alone. She was totally entrenched in Mary is a co-redemptress. And that happened to me in the cheese line. And then I stopped in the flower department, and there she was again. And she, you know, and I left the store, and I felt really, Lord, this is sad. She is zealously misinformed. And she is adamantly set in her ways, just like what Marjorie deals with. She's ministering to, and they're all around us. But my heart was very sad because she is vehemently opposed to Jesus Christ alone. And so I woke up this morning with this song in my heart. It's Count Your Many Blessings. I hope that you are thanking the Lord this morning that someone shared the gospel with you and you came to know Jesus as your Savior. So let's stand up and we'll just sing. What number is that, Ray? 624. She told me she has our hymnal pretty much memorized. But I don't have the words, so maybe. Do you all know the words? Thank you, Kevin. When upon my... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot we have a piano player. Sorry. When upon life's whirlwinds you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your verse 2, because this might have happened to you. Those of you who are able to go to the retreat and be super, super blessed and helped, and for those of you who weren't able to be with us, you'll get at least the blessing of hearing Rebecca this morning. But maybe since the end of the retreat, you have already had a challenge. And you kind of feel like you're wilting a little bit. It can happen so fast, can't it? Let's look at verse 2. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, may the world will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Take 30 seconds and share a blessing with your neighbor that you're thankful for. You can talk. Everybody have a seat. You know, if you were in the reading plan this morning in 1 Kings 8, maybe, you saw 8 or 9 times when Solomon was dedicating the temple, he said this phrase over and over, that God kept his promises. That's one of the hugest blessings you and I have this morning, that what he says and what he's going to say through his servant this morning, he means every word of it, and he's going to keep it perfectly. We have a God who keeps his promises. So let's look to him. Dear Father, thank you so much for each one who's here this morning. And we ask that you would open our eyes. And Lord, teach us from your word. Encourage us, unite us in love,
much of an introduction, but this is Rebecca Bride. And we are so thankful for her.
Becky, what time will the men descend upon us? What do I need to...
If you want to shoot the 10-10.
10-10, okay.
And or a little pass.
A little pass. All right. I am so excited about what we're going to talk about this morning, and I need you to have two things. I need you to have this bookmark, and I need you to have the 1 John 1:9 handout. So if you don't have the bookmark, would you raise your hand, or if you need a handout? Okay, so I have a lovely assistant that's going to help pass these out. All right. Are we... Handout, bookmark. Okay. Great. So we are going to continue our flourishing theme that we started throughout the retreat, and we are going to talk about God's Word. I'll be blunt. We don't have a lot of time for formalities this morning. We've got a lot to talk about. We cannot flourish apart from God's Word. That is the way we are. We are designed. We look at the Psalm 1 woman, and we see that how is the Psalm 1 woman flourishing, even in the drought? Even Jeremiah talks about the tree that flourishes even in the drought. It's having deep roots in God's Word. We talked about James over the retreat and just how important it is to look in God's Word and stay in God's Word and then do God's Word, and that is the place where we find blessing. So it's easy to say that. It's hard to put that into practice. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know where you are in your study of God's Word and the habits you've built into your life. But today, I hope that I'll either give you some tools to get started, or maybe I'll give you some tools to refresh what you're already doing, or maybe just put it in front of you. I might not even share much that's new for you if you've walked with God for a long time, but maybe it'll just kind of rejuvenate you. Okay, I've got to double my efforts here in walking with God and being flourishing in His Word. So I'm going to give you some practical things real quickly. We're going to talk about God's Word, and I'm going to share with you a couple Bible study plans, and we're going to end up with the bookmark in 1 John 1:9, and we're going to do a fast-forward Bible study. Now, when I talk to my girls at Maranatha, I talk about the fact that we need to study God's Word and put God's Word kind of in the slow cooker. I don't know about you, but some of my favorite meals are the ones you smell all day, and they simmer. You know, the microwaved meals just aren't exactly the same. They'll do in a pinch. All right, so I'm going to try to teach you my method of the crock pot method, but we have to do it really fast, all right? So that's where we're headed. Just a couple things. If you say, I do not know where to start when it comes to Bible study, a few things. Number one, confess your need. Tell God that very, very honestly. God, I don't know where to start. I know as a newborn, as a baby in Christ, I know that I need to desire the Word. I don't even desire the Word right now. So would you help me to desire it? Would you help me to understand it? And maybe you do desire God's Word. And so what's the first thing? You sit down with your Bible. God, open my eyes. I want to see wondrous things out of your law. Apart from God's Spirit, we are not going to get the significance of God's Word. And so start the whole process every morning, or maybe as you start a new adventure of I want to study God's Word, confess your need and pray honestly and pray humbly. God already knows what's in your heart. So if you don't love His Word yet, tell Him. All right? He already knows. So just confess that. God, I don't love your Word as I ought to. Would you help me? Would you help me take the next step? All right, number two, cultivate the craving. Cultivate the craving. I have a sweet tooth. If I give in to my sweet tooth, I don't really want the Brussels sprouts. But you know what? I really do love roasted Brussels sprouts and roasted peppers. I love vegetables. But you know what? If I am filling my diet with junk food, that's all I'm craving. And spiritually, it's the same way. We talked about in the retreat about how we need to lay aside wickedness, overflow of wickedness. We have to lay aside sin and then humbly receive the Word. And that model is shown a couple times in Scripture, where we need to lay apart sin because sin will steal your appetite for God's Word. So this morning, You are not going to crave God's word if you are indulging in sin. So put that aside. Do some work. Do some prayer with God and say, God, okay, I don't desire your word. I need to cultivate that craving. I'm willing to put aside my sin, and I want your word instead. Tozer says this, and I find this very convicting. Whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, however harmless it may be. We know that sin can steal our desire for God's word, but you know what? There's also some maybe what we would say neutral things. Social media, recreation, sleep. Sleep is a good thing. But whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, no matter how harmless it may be. So you got to start with some self-evaluation. Is there something in my life that's keeping me from desiring God's word? Okay, so you need to confess your need. You need to cultivate the craving. Then choose some things. Here are some things that I would encourage you to choose. Make some choices. Choose a place and a time. Have everything all ready. I would encourage you to eliminate as many decisions from your life as possible. I bet you didn't decide whether you should brush your teeth this morning. It's built into your life. You just brush your teeth. That's what you do. And so I would encourage you to make some choices ahead of time. That this is just what I do. For me, my alarm goes off. I get up, put my glasses on, throw on some clothes, grab my cup of coffee, and I have my spot. And it's where I go first. And I have a basket. I've got two baskets with everything that I will need to study God's word. I've got my notebooks and my pen. I've got some 4x6 cards. And in the winter in Wisconsin, I've got a candle all ready to be lit. You know, I want my place cozy, and I'm ready to go. So choose your place. Choose your time. Make sure it's a place and time that don't have distractions. You might have to put your phone on Do Not Disturb. I sometimes will have a to-do list because that will interfere with my devotional time if I am being bombarded with what I have to do or what on my grocery list. And so I have a sticky note, and I can just, as soon as that comes to my mind, write it down, and then I forget that, and I can go about my business. I'm spending time with God. So make all those choices ahead of time. I will also encourage you to choose a Bible reading plan so you don't have to decide every day, okay, all right, where's it going to be today? You know, here I'm going to read. And that becomes random, and again, another decision. And we want to be whole Bible students. We want to be students of the whole word. We want to be well-rounded. So I hope you have a plan. I'm going to give you a couple ideas. But wherever you are in the scripture, I'm glad it sounds like right now you have a ladies' Bible reading plan. That's wonderful. Wherever you are, I would encourage you to be consistent and know how you're going to approach that Bible time. I believe it's really important for us to know our goal when we sit down to read the Bible. Becky and I were talking about this a little bit, but when I was first married, if my alarm went off late or if something happened and I could not get to the scripture, I would almost start hyperventilating. And not exactly, but like, oh no, God's going to give me a bad day. God's not going to bless me because I didn't do my thing. And my husband at one point said, Rebecca, does God know you want to spend time in his word? And he kind of just helped me to reevaluate this. And I was kind of, without knowing it, doing it to get God's favor. Like, good Christians have their Bible time. And so what is your goal when you sit down? I hope your goal is to get to know your God. We call it devotions, or we call it devos. What does that mean? It means I am showing my devotion to God. I'm starting out my day or ending my day whenever you have your time with the Lord. I am devoting myself to God. I am prioritizing my relationship with him, and that's the goal. And so when I open up my Bible, my goal really isn't, I gotta get a blessing. I gotta either earn God's favor and make sure everything's good with me and God for the day, or the other thing I can be is like, okay, I just gotta get a blessing. I just need my blessing for the day. Well, God's word will bless you. God's word will, your cup will be overflowing when you spend time with God's word and take it seriously. But more than just getting a blessing, it's getting to know God. And this kind of leads me to the first Bible study plan that you could implement no matter where you are in the Scripture. Years ago, I didn't even read the whole book. I read part of Marty Collier's What Do I Know About My God? Are you all familiar with that book at all? So I have started years ago, but this isn't my first God journal, but I consistently add to my God journal over the years. And this is something you can do no matter where you're reading. So right now, with your women's Bible study plan, I have my notebook here. You don't have to be alphabetized. It just helps me to be organized, and I have a lot of my life here. But I've got this six-ringed binder, and I've got my God journal section, and I have it alphabetized. This is my God is Able page. And here's what I do, no matter where I'm reading, I keep my eyes out for who God is. And so when I see a new characteristic of God, I start a new page, and all I do is write the verse. And so my God is able. Colossians 3. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. So I write that here. And then maybe later I'm reading in Jude and I see, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. And so I write the whole verse right here, or the major part of the verse right here. The next day I read something about God being faithful. So maybe I start on my God is faithful page. And what I love about this so much is it gives me an opportunity to worship God. So my Bible time flows into my prayer time. And so I get done reading, and I take my characteristic. Today, my characteristic was faithful, because I was looking at our passage for today. So my characteristic was my God is faithful. And I was reminded that he is faithful to carry to completion, to fulfill his good work in me. And I was reminded about his faithfulness, and he's surrounded by his faithfulness. And so I was praying. I started my Bible time this morning. God, I worship you because you are faithful. And so I'm reading and I'm praising. And then that gives me a stabilizing truth for my day. Do you realize the scripture says grace and peace come through the knowledge of God? And so the more, do any of you have too much grace? Too much peace? You're just like overflowing. No, I want more grace, I want more peace, and that comes as I get to know my God. So it gives me this stabilizing truth for today, and I get a little shaken, at lunch, and then, okay, who is my God? My God is faithful. He is going to see me through this situation, and I turn to my faithful God. Then you have a girlfriend that calls you, and she's like, oh, I'm really worried, and you're like, you know what I was reminded today? I was reminded that we have this faithful God. So it gives you personal stability and grace and peace, and it gives you an opportunity to worship God, and then it gives you an outlet to help other people, and it helps you in your dark moments. Do you have dark moments? Every once in a while I'll tell my husband, I just need someone to take me to coffee and tell me everything I already know. Not that I know everything, but I just can't remember what I actually do know. And so this helps me to go to my God journal. Okay, I've forgotten who you are, God. I've forgotten what you will do. And I go and I have a resource to put truth in front of my eyes during my anxious moments or my despairing moments. So that's Bible plan number one that you could choose, and just it could go right along. I'm going to give you Bible study option number two in just a moment. But I'd like to also encourage you to choose a meditation plan. Like, how are you going to meditate on the scripture? How are you going to hide God's word in your heart? Are any of you familiar with the Versify Bible app? Versify. Yeah? I love it. You pull up this app, and it's the way that I am choosing to meditate on scripture right now. And you can create a Bible flashcard with your memory verse in 10 seconds. You like click on the chapter, the verse, and there's your flashcard. And then you can play games with it if you want to. I just like the flashcards primarily, and I can just flip through my decks. And it has really challenged me. I can pick up my phone and scroll worthless things when I'm standing in line or when I have a down moment. And I'm really working at clicking on Versify. And it's been an encouragement to me to see how quickly God's truth can bring peace and encouragement. All right, we've got to keep moving here because I want to go to Bible study option number two. So I gave you this bookmark, and this is the plan that I am using currently in my personal Bible time. It's the plan that I use in our ladies' Bible study at my church. And so we just go through this method of studying Scripture. I find so often we can do a lot of talking about the Bible, but not actually studying the Bible. And so my goal for our ladies is that we actually aren't dependent. There are good resources. But I don't want to be dependent on having to have what somebody else says about God's Word. We need to be self-feeders. All right, so here's the plan. And I don't have an official name. We'll call it the 1-2-3 plan, because point one's on the front, and then step two and three are on the back. And these steps correspond to what we talked about in James this weekend. Step one would be the looking into the perfect law of liberty. Step two would be staying in the perfect law of liberty. And step three would be doing it. How am I going to apply it? So I call it, you know, observe and conclude and apply. I have been working through the book of James, and I stay a long time in one passage because I want to let it simmer. So we're going to do 1 John 1:9, and we're going to walk through this with as much time as the Lord gives us this morning. This is a common passage, and we're actually just going to look at John 1:9. So I've got that big and large in the middle of your handout, and I have the other verses there for context. But I hope you'll be encouraged by how much truth we can mine from one verse that you already know. I bet you have it memorized. If you don't, that's fine. You can read it. But let's say it or read it together, all right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, so let's just dive in. You've got your bookmark. This is going to tell us where we're going, and we're gonna have some give and take here. All right, so we're gonna have some interaction. All right, so 1 John 1:9. We come to this passage, and what are we going to do? How do I mine some truths out of 1 John 1:9? Well, if you look at our first step, we want to look. We want to look really carefully. We want to make some observations, and here's our goal in step one. We want to understand all of the words. We want to make sure there's no part of this verse that we do not understand. Now, as we study Scripture, I hope that you have some resources. There are some wonderful electronic resources. My husband and I have Logos, so I've got the app on my phone. I'm not as familiar with some of the others, but I know you can use Bible Gateway. There's the Olive Tree app. There's several apps that you can use. I'm going to give you my top recommendation for a commentary, and that would be the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Walbert and Zuck, the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It's available electronically or in two volumes. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can get it on Amazon very easily. And here's how my husband would describe it. He would say that it is like a study Bible on steroids, all right? It's short enough that it's not going to overwhelm you. It's not bunches of technical terms, but it's like having a study Bible, which is another wonderful resource. Have that study Bible with just some notes. But this is a conservative, I believe it's fairly dispensational. It's going to help you with accurate Bible understanding. So have those resources at your fingertip. I like to have a resource where I can see the meanings of the words in the original language. So I'm going to give you some of those today because we don't have all of those sources. But we want to understand all the words. So that's what our goal here is with observe. Now, I have all those things that we can look for, and not all of these will be in every passage. The further you get down the list, the more maybe uncommon they would be. But these are things we could see in a lot of Scripture passages. All right, number one is the context. We always want to know what's happening. We don't want all words ripped out of context, and neither should we do that with the authors of Scripture. We want to make sure they're explaining themselves. So, as we look at 1 John 1:9, let's look at verse 8 and verse 10, which we're not going to spend much time on. Let's see what's happening. I'm going to read both verses, and I want you to tell me what's similar. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, and make him a liar, his word is not in us. What do you think it's similar? What we say, deceiving ourselves. I can't hear really well, so. Saying we don't have any sin. All right, so in context, we're talking about sin and what we say about personally about our sin. And so this is our context. In 8 and verse 8, would you notice that if we say we have no sin, that's revealing something about who we are. What does it mean? That we are deceived. All right? Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, it's saying something, we're making a statement about God. What are we saying about God? Okay, we're going to be there. So I think what John is saying to us is, we're going to sin. You see that in the context? This is the reality. I believe verse 9 is saying what we should do. We're going to sin, so how do we handle our sin when it happens? All right? Let's look at just verse 9 now. Do you see any repeating words or ideas? Just shout it out. What do you see? Our sin. Thank you, Rebecca. Our sin. I think that was Rebecca. So we see that, okay? What else? What are some other repeating words or ideas? There's some synonyms. Forgive and cleanse. All right, so let's talk about those. They are very similar. Forgive means to cancel a debt or pardon. And cleanse means to purify. So we see here already that John is using a couple synonyms that mean the same thing. Essentially, it's what God does with our sin, but they're all a little different. So he cancels the debt or pardons, and he purifies. So sin, are, forgive, cleanse. When you find the repeating words, that will help you see the themes that are going on in the passage. All right, what about characteristics of God? We're going to move quickly. Faithful, just, and he does what? He's a forgiver. Okay, so when we come to characteristics of God, I like to put boxes around them. That's just how I study, and it helps them, like, jump out of the page for me. So I usually circle the reoccurring words, and then I like to put boxes around the characteristics of God. And these would be, if you're doing a God journal, you should have a just page, and you should have a faithful page, and you should have my God forgives page. All right, unfamiliar words. As we're looking down, we're combing, what don't we understand? What are some unfamiliar words? Anything? Most of these are pretty basic words, but there's some deep theology here. I'm just going to let's just talk through, just to make sure, if we confess. So when we talk about the word confess, that is talking about saying the same thing as God, or acknowledging my sin before God. I'm going to say, yes, God, this is wrong. I'm going to view it how you view it, and I'm going to tell it to him. I'm going to acknowledge. All right? So then faithful. We generally know what faithful is, but can you give me any synonyms? Loyal? Consistent. I was thinking reliable. He's trustworthy. If you have a faithful friend, she is trustworthy. And so this word includes the idea of being trustworthy or reliable. Just. What does that mean? Okay. It's a little bit different than fair. God doesn't give everybody the same thing. But it means he always makes the righteous decision. He always acts in accord with his righteous standards. He's never going to do something inconsistent with righteousness. The word forgive, I've already said, that means to cancel or pardon, to forgive us all our sins. And so we didn't really talk about the fact that he's saying our. So this is all of us. We're all in the same boat with this. Each believer still has to keep their life clean in the sense that we want our relationship. We've already been welcomed into the family. Our sin has been taken away in that sense, but we want to keep the relationship right. We don't want to allow sin to become in between us and God. So then, let's go to that word cleanse. We already said purify us. The last word I want us to take note of is that word unrighteousness. And this is significant, because this means unjust deeds. So if we see that God is just, he always does what is righteous, we are unrighteous. We do unjust things. We don't act in accordance with God's righteous standards. Okay, so let's keep moving. We kind of have talked about all the parts, what all the words mean. Do you see anything that's figurative? When we talk about something being figurative, we're talking about like her as, she's fast as a rabbit, you know, she's not literally a rabbit. We're talking about poetic language. Is there anything here that might not be literal? What? Kinds, all right? It's not talking about, you know, our physical. And we know that, but it's just good for us to take note as we study Scripture of what would be figurative. So this is a spiritual cleansing. Do you see any contrasts or comparisons? I gave you the only one I think that I could find. The unjust versus God being just versus our injustice. Our injustice. Our unjust deeds, I mean. Okay. We're just going to hit one other one. There's no commands in the Scripture, and that's very significant to make sure that we don't say, thus saith the Lord, where God doesn't say, thus saith the Lord. So there's no real commands in this passage. I don't really see reasons, but I do see a conditional phrase. Condition. If. All right, if you behave yourself, you may have ice cream. If. All right, so that's when we talk about condition, we're seeing about the if and then. So yes, if we confess our sins, that's the condition to receiving God's forgiveness. That's true at salvation, but it's also true in our daily walk. We need to keep short accounts, we would say, with God. Okay, so we have done a very fast forward look. Let's turn over. And now let's talk about staying in the Scripture, or can we draw some conclusions? And what we never want to do is we never want to open the Bible and get a really fast impression of what God is saying and run with it, and we're just kind of ripping God's word and using it for our purposes. So we have to say, okay, we're going to look carefully. Now, after we've looked and we've studied, now let's draw some conclusions. My favorite thing to do in any passage is just to try to summarize it in one sentence. Now, this is where we can get tripped up really fast, because here's what almost always my students will do. I'll say, can you summarize? Can you just put this, you know, the big idea into your words? And here's what they'll do. So take 1 John 1:9. They'll say, because of God's work on the cross for us and his great love for us, when we confess, and wait, does this verse say anything about God's love for us? Anything about God's work on the cross? No, I've already said we want to be whole Bible students. But we want to be able to summarize what is right here. Otherwise, we can miss what is right here because we're just kind of bringing what we want from other parts of the Bible and putting it in. So I'm going to be very strict this morning. Does anybody think, after scaring you, does anybody think you can just really briefly, in a few words, what is John saying here? Go ahead, volunteer. Excellent, 10,000 points for the audio yet. Yes, okay, so we got the big, broad idea, but we can also, so that would be the simple version, but we could also expand it. And for sake of time, I'm going to give you my expansion. All right, when we acknowledge our sin, God, because of his character, reliably and justly cancels our debt and forgives us. So you see how I expanded it with bringing in some of the synonyms? And this just helps. This will help you gauge your understanding. Can you, every once in a while, I'll tell my husband, I'm so excited about what I'm going to teach. And he'll say, tell me about it. And then I can't really, but it's just so amazing. Yes, but, like, tell me. And I have a hard time summarizing it. And this will check your understanding. So you study, okay, can I put this in my own words? Can I say it simply, and then can I add it and kind of expand to what he's doing here just from this passage? All right, so let's ask ourselves some other things. After we've summarized it, what conclusions can we draw about God? We're on that bullet point. And what can we conclude about God from this passage? He's faithful. What else? He will forgive. He is absolutely just. Now, let me ask you, why is it just for him to forgive me when I confess? Absolutely. Justice has been satisfied. He would be unjust not to forgive me because my sins were already placed on Jesus Christ. Sins are paid for once, once for all. So he can, in his justice, just, our relationship's good. Yes, I cancel that debt. Good. What, anything else we can conclude about God? Okay, so maybe we could say God wants us to confess our sins. Like, he would desire that. Yeah. How about this? This is a thought that has gripped me. God's interactions with me are governed by his character. Do you see that in this verse? Why will he forgive me? Why does he interact with me that way? Because of who he is. He is faithful and he is just. This means God will never interact with me in a way that isn't consistent with who he is. Now, here's where we could be reminded of some other places in Scripture about him never changing, etc. So, I see from this passage, he interacts with us in relationship to his character. All right, just very basically, what does this verse remind us about with humans? That's our next question. What does this remind us about with humans? We sin! We need to confess our sins. When we study the Psalms, ladies, you will be, if you go through this, you will be so encouraged. You are going to find out some things about humans. Where it's like, other people feel this way too? Whoa. David despaired. You mean humans face things like depression and despair and anxiety? What? And it's helpful for us to ask this question. What do I learn about humankind in general? Okay, what about living a life that's pleasing to God? We've already said this. This verse, we can conclude that God wants me to confess my sins. It's not a command in this verse, but this verse helps me understand that this is how a Christian lives consistently with pleasing God, which is getting us into our applications. All right, we have a few minutes left here. This would be how, when we talk about applying God's word, I have to ask, so what? What does this mean for my life? This is where the hearing meets the doing. So what? How can I apply this? And often, we will say, well, I just need to do better. Or I just need to act better. But there are so many ways we can apply God's word. The first thing I like to do is just ask in general, but personally, how does this verse encourage me? What do you think? I love that. It gives confidence. Good. What else? I know we're fast-forwarding. I'm sorry. You'll be deeply encouraged if you study this for an hour. Okay? Any other encouraging takeaways? Yeah. We were talking this weekend about the guilt, the filth of sin. And what a joy that I can come to my God with my guilt and leave it on him, and he cleanses me. Yes. Yes. Yes, and I even forgot. I meant to point out the word all. And so the application you're drawing is from that wonderful word. He cleanses us from all, from every total. Wow. What other? Anybody else? Yes. Yes, there is a path. I'm going to sin, but God has this path of fellowship. Yes. Okay, and we could keep going. All right. So, very specifically then, how, when we come to Scripture, it should change something about, like, how we view God, or how we live, or how we think, or how we pray. Does this change how you view God at all? Anybody? Good reminder of his holiness. Yes. Yes. Our God is ready. And this here's where, I mean, the Psalms tell us that He is good and ready to forgive. Our God wants to forgive us. I love this idea that His forgiveness is reliable. If you go to a friend, if you have messed up for the 15th time, you're a little concerned on how she's going to respond. I have to tell her I did it again. Or to her husband. And God is consistent. We can count on Him every time. He's never going to change. He's never going to say, you blew it. This was wrong too many times. We know how He's going to respond. How does this change how we live? We want to please Him by confessing, by repenting. You know what? We say we're believers, but you know what? We could equally say we're repenters, couldn't we? I mean, 1 John 1:9 should be a part of our everyday. Are any of you able to go through a whole day without sinning in thought or deed? Not me, okay? So this should be the pattern of our lives. Maybe when you get in bed at night. Ooh, but, all right, that's kind of what we're talking about, changing how we live. Maybe at night, as you're rehearsing the day, praise God for His faithfulness throughout the day, and maybe say, Lord, is there anything? Oh, I said this today. Will you forgive me? Oh, how does this change how we think? We're out of time, so I'm just going to give you some ideas. How about this? I must believe God. Do you realize this is a faith proposition? Like, I have to believe He will actually forgive me. And we can walk around thinking, well, I confessed it, but I still feel. This isn't a feeling thing. This is a trusting God thing. Do you believe that God will forgive you? You must not think there's a lag time. You must not confess your sin and then try to keep earning His favor. Well, I better be on my best behavior today. Do you realize that when we continue to feel guilty, we are not trusting that God is going to do what He says He's going to do? And I have found myself in a position where I've had to confess that. Now, God, I've already asked for Your forgiveness. Will You forgive me for wallowing? I am really doubting You. And I believe You forgive me. Forgive me for not believing that You're going to forgive me, okay? And then last, how will this change how we pray? Well, I hope you praise Him. Get out your forgiving page. That's going to be a long page. If you start a My God Forgives page, you're going to probably go to the backside, all right, with all the verses about God forgiving. Ask Him to help you believe it. Trust Him that He's forgiven you. Praise Him. Worship Him. We don't just worship on Sunday mornings when we sing. We can worship I hope you worship on Sunday mornings when we sing. But we can worship Him consistently for who He is. Our God is a good God. I hope you take this Bible bookmark, and I just hope it will help you. One last thing. A year ago, I got for Christmas the entire New Testament in individual books that are journaling Bibles. And so so I'm studying through James. So I've got my little James booklet with lots of places to write, and I don't feel bad. Circling miracle words and boxing characteristics of God, and I mark it all up. So anyway, that would be something I would encourage you to do as you dig in and study Scripture. Let's pray. Father, Your word is, Lord, just, it is settled in heaven. It's forever. It's sure. It's eternal. Lord, it is what gives us our hope and gives us our stability and allows us to flourish. Lord, would You help us to love You more, and as we are in it, and help us to love Your word more. Even today, as we go into this morning service, would You help us to worship You for who You are? Thank You for being a consistent, reliable, just, faithful God.